issue. We know, of course, along with the pressure on hospitals due to spiked cases, we're also seeing trauma units that for several weeks under the harder lockdown weren't seeing as many incidents related to alcohol. And now we're seeing, of course, alcohol-related violence or accidents filling up the trauma units even as the COVID numbers begin to peak. So it is a personal responsibility issue. What is the way forward? How does the eye of the storm, as we keep calling it, actually look? Well, we're now joined by Professor Bruce Melado, who's a professor of physics at Wits University, also a senior scientist at Itemba Labs, joining us now, of course, part of the Gauteng Command Council dealing with this crisis. Professor, very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us on our program.
Hi, thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm well. I hope you are too. Listen, we're hearing frightening numbers, quite frankly. The MEC for Health in the province says we could see, 250 to 300,000 cases next month.
I'm sure you listened to the press conference we had yesterday with presentations from various stakeholders, including the Premier and the MEC. And that's round about what the projections look like, assuming that there's no change in behavioral patterns of peoples and communities. I mean, the Premier was very clear in regard to the fact that there's still a lot of people that don't really adhere to social distancing advisories, wearing masks and things like that when they could. And that is a very serious problem that he was alluding to, that for us as modelers and mathematicians, so to say, leads us to conclude that the spread will continue unless that behavior doesn't improve or change.
It doesn't look like it's going to, at least not for a while, Prof. I mean, anecdotally, we're also seeing it. I've been seeing it. People are calling onto this show, tell us all the time in various areas that's what they are seeing. And what that means, I would imagine, is that there are now going to be hot spots popping up all over the province.
That's correct. I mean, there are two processes that run in parallel in terms of the spread of the pandemic. One is the overall spread across the province. It's a natural process of infection. And then there are hotspots that appear spuriously in certain regions or communities where, for whatever reasons, the spread becomes faster. We are seeing both. Both processes are progressing, and as of late, we've certainly been seeing a lot of hot spots in the province that seem to be driving a lot of the numbers that we see.
Explain to me these cluster outbreaks, these hot spots, quite apart from behavior, what patterns are you seeing? Where are the areas that you can speak of that are hardest hit?
As to the location of the of hotspot, that's something that evolves continuously. I mean, you can think of, just to establish an analogy, like when you have water boiling and you have bubbles coming up. So this is how hotspots work. You can't really predict where they are going to show. It's something that happens spuriously, but of course you can identify them and also study them and alert policymakers and different stakeholders to take action in those regions. So it's not something that we can predict exactly, but once we've identified them, we can certainly predict how they're going to evolve and things like that. So what we are going to be seeing in the next few days, weeks, is the emergence of hotspots in different areas. Some hotspots will reach a peak and then they will wane. Others will emerge. And what we're going to see is basically all this, using the famous analogy of Professor Karim, these fires that are going to be emerging in different places.
One of the things you said yesterday was how different this pandemic, this virus is from others that we have known. And there's so much, I think, about it that is becoming clearer as the months continue. And of course, as it just continues to spread, one of the big conversation points is around people who are asymptomatic, but continue or at least are still able to spread the virus.
That's correct, and that is a major driver of the pandemic. As, for instance, we are seeing, and we monitor very closely the situation worldwide. The global picture is extremely important to us to understand the evolution of the virus. You can clearly see in the example of the United States, and that young people who not necessarily are going to be subjected to symptoms or will have small mortality or appear to be asymptomatic, they are driving that spread. I mean, and that is basically one of the characteristics of this virus, that most of the people, around about 90% of people that get the virus, may not show symptoms at all or very mild symptoms, to the point that he or she just feels uncomfortable, but nothing more than that. So obviously that leads people or some people to believe that if it's not going to affect them, then let's just have it and move on. But unfortunately, they become conduits of the virus. That virus is passed on to other people that may be subjected to severe forms of symptoms, unfortunately.
That's what you are referring to as the latent dynamic, where people are carriers but don't feel they have the virus, and then obviously through that pass it on. I think that's perhaps the danger that most people are not seeing, the idea that just because you don't feel anything, you're not necessarily, just because you don't feel anything doesn't mean you're not necessarily passing it on if you have it.
Absolutely, and that's really how the virus seems to be spreading. That's the reason why our modeling team has decided to use a particular type of mathematical construction to allow us to study both that latent community, which we call that goes under what we call latent dynamic, and the visible dynamic or the visible community, visible in the sense that they are people that become symptomatic, they become sick, they feel sick, and then they interact with the healthcare system. So that basically forces us to rethink, to rethink and build a mathematical apparatus that applies to this particular problem.
Prof, you're also saying that you're using artificial intelligence to learn from the complex data you receive. Can you explain how that works?
Right. So artificial intelligence, in particular machine learning, these are a set of algorithms and mathematics that allows the scientist to learn from the data. Okay. You see, what happens at times, and this is a clear example of it, that sometimes the problem is so complex, it has so many different factors and parameters, that it's very difficult to build a fundamental mathematical apparatus that would explain everything. Instead, sometimes, given its complexity, for instance, the dynamic of hotspots is one good example of it. You have to learn from the data. You have to learn about the characteristics of the hotspots from the data, how long the hotspots survive, when the hotspots are growing, or reaching their peak or waning, and all this sort of all the characteristics of hotspots we need to learn from the data, because it's a very complex dynamic. The underlying interactions of people are so complex and so diverse and so heterogeneous that artificial intelligence comes in as a way to learn from the data.
I mean, I asked you about the hotspots because some of the areas, of course, that were highlighted in the presentation yesterday was obviously Johannesburg as the red spot, indicating the severity of the situation in Gauteng, but also Soweto, Boksburg, and Tembisa were said to be experiencing some spikes. And for me, the question that it leads to is how ready are our hospitals, particularly in those areas, to deal with the spike?
So this question has been covered very well by some speakers yesterday, like, for instance, Dr. Kawonga and also the MEC and the Premier, where the province, knowing how the pandemic is going to evolve, and that's the job of the modeling team, is to give an estimate of that evolution, but we're going to be by the end of July and August and September. They are acting accordingly. So I don't have the numbers off the top of my head because that's not...
Sure, that's but really not what you're focusing on. Sure.
Yeah, exactly, because we have other areas of concern, but we pass that information. The good news is that there is a committee that is very, very dynamic, and we pass this information, you know, on a daily basis to the community for policymakers to take those decisions.
Prof. Malado, let's say you are called into Premier David Makura's office, the Health MEC, Dr. Bandile Masuku is there, perhaps Minister Mkhize is on the line. They want to know from you, given where we are, given what your modeling is telling you, should we go back to a harder lockdown? What would your advice be?
Okay, look, enacting lockdowns is a decision of a policymaker because you have to take into account that not only is there epidemiological inputs, but there are economic inputs and some societal inputs as well. So they, you know, one thing that you learn, and I mean, I'm speaking as a citizen, as a rank and file citizen here, you realize how complicated it is for a policymaker to make a decision because of the complexity of the situation. So what we do is we meet very regularly. We interact on a daily basis with clinicians, practitioners, epidemiologists, our team of data scientists and mathematicians and physicists, and we basically give output almost on a daily basis and major updates on a weekly basis. That is communicated to the office of the Premier, and they are continuously seeing those results and balancing different aspects. So, you know, I have to understand, you know, what my place is. My place is to provide
I fully appreciate all of that. I fully appreciate all of that, Prof. And of course, the policymakers, as you say, will make a decision based on a fuller picture. But I also want to get a sense from you because, in a way, the maths, the numbers tell a particular story based on where you are sitting and what you see from your area of expertise. What would your leaning be towards?
The questions we answer, for instance, if the policymaker comes to us and say, what happens if, for instance, we don't allow alcohol to be consumed, or what will happen if schools would not reopen, or what will happen if schools reopen? So we basically look at different scenarios, okay? Based on those scenarios, we basically make certain predictions that include not just the number of positives, but also the number of beds and types of beds that would be required as a function of time. So what we do, we don't really advise them
on that score.
We give input. That's how the interaction will. We give input, mathematical, concrete input, and our job is to make it as reliable as possible.
All right, we'll leave it there. Professor Bruce Malado, Professor of Physics at Wits University, ever the scientist.